Blog Talk Radio.
Exchange Radio Show, which is for the next several weeks the home of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. And I'm your very grateful host, Michelle Hollinger. And for the next several weeks, we will be discussing the paperback edition of the Sisterhood Exchange. So welcome, and let me thank you right away for spending a portion of your Wednesday evening with me. I am always filled with gratitude when you guys tune in, and I want to encourage you to call in with your questions, your comments, and your brilliant insights, especially if you've read the book. I really want to hear from you. The call-in number is 646-595-2081. I'm not sure if the operator on that call is still giving prompts if you want to join me on the air, so if you do, just press the number 1, and then I'll get an indication that you want to come on board, and I will pipe you in, okay? So before we get into the next chapter of the book, let me do a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, okay, I gave you the number, and then the other thing I want to remind you all to do is, if you haven't already done so, on the website for this radio show, for on blogtalkradio.com/ the Sisterhood Exchange, there's a blue follow tab. If you would click that for me, that is tremendously helpful because it helps me to keep track of who's following the show. And whenever there's a change when this show is about to start, it sends you out a reminder. It's just very, very helpful if you guys click on that blue follow tab. The other thing I need to let you know is about the book itself. If you haven't already purchased it, then the book is available on my website. That's if you're interested in an autographed copy. If you want an autographed copy, then go to michellehollinger.com, and you can order your book there, and I'll get you an autographed copy out to you. If you're not interested in the autographed copy, you can order it from amazon.com. The price is very similar. On my website, it's $10. On amazon.com, it's $10.30. And you can also order the e-book. And for those of you who want to follow along, you know, with the book club, the ebook is a really good option because you can download it as soon as you order it, and you can follow along with what we're discussing in the book club. And it just makes the discussion a little more enriching for you to follow along in the book. The book is really small, it's really short, so we're really going to go in depth, you know, into each chapter. So even if you don't have the book, you can still get something out of this book club discussion, because I'll go into the chapter and really give a good foundation for what the chapter is about before we start to discuss it, or as we discuss it. What else do I need to tell you? Facebook. If you are on Facebook, there's a Facebook page, the Sisterhood Exchange. I absolutely positively love that Facebook page because it helps me to keep you up to date with what's going on with the radio show, with the book club, and I also get to just have fun with it by posting inspirational, motivational tidbits on there. I sometimes post challenging posts so that we can just wake up and you know, get about the business of living our life's purpose, because each one of us is here on purpose with a purpose, and the Sisterhood Exchange Facebook page is a really fun opportunity for me to just share with you all, and I encourage you all to, you know, post information on there as well, you know, respond to what the posts are, give me your feedback on the book, on the radio show. That's the spot to do it. And you can also send me information if you are a follower of the radio show. If you click on that blue tab, there's a mechanism on there where you can actually send me a message, and it'll come directly to me. So, okay, I gave you Facebook, websites for ordering the book, gave you the phone number. Again, that is 646-595-2081. And I think that we are ready to dive in. what I'm going to do first is just for those of you who may be joining us for the first time tonight and you weren't able to join us last week for the launch of the book club, I'm going to do a little recap on last week's discussion so that to catch you guys up, and then we'll go into the discussion tonight, which is on the first chapter of the book, and that's called Disconnect to Connect. So what we did last week was to go into the preface of the book, which gives a really good background on the sisterhood exchange, where, you know, what it means and how it impacts our lives. And it talks about, you know, that as little girls, you know, what we're exposed to as little girls determines how we embrace sisterhood. And so I'm going to do just a little bit of a review of the preface because I think it's really important to set that foundation first before we start to move into any other part of the discussion. And so in the preface, I talked about sisterhood and how it's one of the most powerful aspects of being a woman. I'm on page 7 of the book, if you have it. It begins with our birth and takes on the flavor of what we're most consistently exposed to. Girls who grow up around authentic women who feel good about themselves are more likely to feel good about themselves, too. Girls who grow up around women who support other women in words and actions are more likely to develop a healthy approach to sisterhood. On the other hand, girls who grow up around and are only exposed to, and I put that in italics because if they're only exposed to women who routinely gossip and put other women down, then that kind of takes hold in a stronger way. If they're exposed to women who gossip and put other women down, but they're also exposed to women who do the opposite, then, you know, the tendency to believe that what they're most exposed to or what they're exposed to by way of the gossip and the putting other women down, if they see another way, they have it within them to be able to question that and to explore whether that's really the way women are supposed to treat each other or not. Okay, so I talked about, you know, where that comes from as far as our childhood is concerned and what we're exposed to. And essentially, it builds into this vicious cycle. You know, women who, as adult women, are engaged in gossip and backstabbing and you know, all of those things that give sisterhood a bad name. They did not just wake up one day with that behavior. It's rooted in childhood. It's a learned behavior because little baby girls don't come here planning to gossip. They don't come here planning to backstab. They don't come here planning to disparage other little girls. That is behavior that is learned from what they experience, from what they witness, from what they hear from other women. So this vicious cycle is kept in motion, and I'm on page 8, second paragraph. The vicious cycle is kept in motion by unconscious women. These women are not literally unconscious, but they are not consciously aware of who they really are. So one of the things that I talked about last week, and it's included in this paragraph, in this chapter, is that when a woman is not aware of who she really is, and who she really is rests inside of her, we're born with who we really are inside of us. But if, based on, you know, what we've gotten in our childhood and based on how we're living our lives, if we are not in the habit of going within in the silence, if we're not in the habit of just spending, you know, some time with ourselves on a regular basis to listen to our thoughts and to explore, you know, why things happen in our lives and to really shine a light on, you know, the different dynamics of who we are, then we can get into a habit of living from our false self. Because if we haven't tapped into the truth of who we are living from our false self. That's the self that feels okay with engaging in gossip. That's the self who feels okay with putting other women down. That's the self who has negative self-talk. That's the self who is quick to beat ourselves up when we make a mistake or we use poor judgment. So that's the false self. And so I talked about that last night how this perception that women can't get along, that women can't trust each other, that women can't work together is really only a perception because the truth of who we are says that we actually can trust each other. We actually can work together. We actually can get along. But we've been sold a bill of goods. And, again, based on how we were raised, what we were exposed to as it relates to the adult women in our lives, and then the habits that we got into as adult women ourselves, it determines whether this vicious cycle is kept in place or not. So, yeah, I talked about that a great deal. And essentially, one of the spiritual laws that's really, really powerful, all spiritual law is powerful, but one of the most powerful is the law that like energy attracts, that what goes around comes around. What you put out is what you draw back into your life. The law of attraction is real. And as it relates to sisterhood, the energy that we exude to other women is what we attract back into our life. So if we're living from our false self, then we're attracting other women who are also living from her false self, from their false selves, okay? And so we're giving out negativity, and then we're drawing that negativity back into our lives because what we give out, we attract back into our lives. And so it's this vicious cycle. I'm giving it out to other women. They're giving it back to me. I'm giving it back to them. They're giving it back to me. And it's just this crazy cycle. It's this crazy cycle. And so in this chapter, I talked about how activating your sisterhood of self, which is a phrase that I coined. You know what? Let me not lie. It is a phrase that came through me from God that made so much sense that I included it in this book. That's the truth of the matter. So the sisterhood of self, and I have seven principles of the sisterhood of self, but essentially it doesn't matter, you know, how you got into this low energy form of sisterhood, if gossiping or backstabbing, disparaging women or whatever the case may be is a part of your life. It doesn't matter how you got involved. By engaging your sisterhood of self, you can stop the cycle. You can stop it. You can pull yourself out of it and get about the really important and really serious business of discovering who you are, what your purpose is, and why you're here, and to really get involved with making that happen. And so, let's see, where am I here? Yeah, on page 8, at the bottom of page 8, it goes into that. It says, regardless of how or where a woman entered into the vicious cycle of dysfunctional low-energy sisterhood, she can raise the quality of the energy by activating the sisterhood of self, also known as the SOS, which is an intentional, strength-based, high-energy exchange that a woman has with herself. Okay? I talked about how traditionally the SOS is recognized as a visual distress signal for a situation requiring an urgent response, and how I really believe that a woman going within and discovering who she really is and getting about the business of living her life on purpose is urgent. You know, there should be a sense of urgency about that. So the SOS acronym is very apropos for this discussion about the sisterhood exchange, the sisterhood of self. And it essentially describes the energy that flows within a woman. The sisterhood exchange, rather, is a phrase that describes the energy that flows within a woman when she interacts with herself and the energy that flows back and forth when she interacts with other women. The quality of the sisterhood exchange is determined by the quality of the energy, and the quality of the energy is determined by a woman's thoughts, words, and actions. Gossiping, bullying, jealousy, backstabbing, etc., are all low-energy sisterhood exchanges. Encouragement, admiration, mentoring, inspiration, etc., are all high-energy sisterhood exchanges. Here's the thing that I discovered when I was writing this paperback. Let me back up a bit, because the first edition of this book is a hardback. And a couple of years ago, actually I wrote it several years ago, but I published it a couple of years ago. But when I published it, I really thought that was all that I had to say about sisterhood. I really thought that book was complete. It's a really sweet book. It's a really nice book. But what I realized as my journey continued to unfold was that I had a whole lot more to say about sisterhood. And the universe poured it through me in such a way that I realized that, okay, this needs to be two parts. So the paperback is an entirely different book than a hardback, which is unusual because usually with when you publish your book in paperback, it's usually the exact same content as the hardback, and it's just different packaging. It's in a paperback instead of a hardback. And what happened with me was, as I started to prepare the book for paperback, when I'm meditating and praying, I started to get all of these insights and just epiphanies about sisterhood, and there was just so much information that was coming through that I realized that, you know what, this is going to be an entirely different book. And the more I sat with it and just started allowing it to flow through, I realized that, okay, not only is it going to be a different book, it's going to be a two-parter. So this book is separated into two parts. Part one, which is the sisterhood of self, and then part two is sister to sister. And essentially the premise behind that is the way that I treat myself determines how I treat other women. The way that I speak to myself, the way that I spend time with myself or not, the way that I self-talk, whether it's negative or positive, all of that determines how I interact with other women. And so the SOS goes into the relationship that we have with ourselves. That's what the SOS is about, the sisterhood of self. And on page 9, bottom of the chapter, bottom of the page, rather, it says, the SOS is the foundation for a woman's existence because it determines the quality of her life. A woman with an inactive SOS has not accessed her inner splendor, has not discovered her life purpose, and is likely experiencing frustrations in multiple aspects of her life. Because she engages in low-energy sisterhood exchanges with herself, she also engages in low-energy sisterhood exchanges with other women. And that is it in a nutshell. As within, so without. How I am treating myself, how I am experiencing myself, the energy that I am experiencing within myself, that determines how I interact with other women. And one of the things that I mentioned last week was that you don't have to be involved in negative relationships with other women in order to get something from this book. I am so proud of this book. I'm just really, really grateful that God chose me to pour it through me, because it's really important, it's really powerful, and it's really having a very significant impact on every woman who has read it. The feedback that I'm getting is that women are reading the book and they're rereading it, and then they're going back to certain chapters because there are certain chapters that are resonating with them. And then the other thing that's happening is after a woman reads it, she doubles back and then she buys multiple copies for her sister friends because she realizes that it's a book that every woman should have. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really, really proud of that. So I was talking about the SOS. Let me take a deep breath. Because I could just, like, get on a roll and just really keep going with this discussion without breathing the way that I should. Deep breathing is so important. It's a part of being in the silence. And anyway, I digress. A woman with an active SOS, I talked about a woman with an inactive SOS briefly. Now, a woman with an active SOS is dealing with an entirely different set of circumstances, okay? Bottom of page 9. A woman with an active SOS may or may not be living her best life, but she's aware that she is here on purpose with a purpose. She knows that, okay? So she may not be actively involved in it right now, but she's moving towards it, okay? And top of page 10 basically says that if she's not currently doing so, her actions will sooner than later result in her living an authentic, deeply satisfying life. She understands that she has a role to play in experiencing the something more. You're going to hear that phrase a lot in this book, something more that she desires. A woman with an active SOS is not only interested in living her life to the fullest, she wants the same thing for other women. Okay, and then the next paragraph on that page just really goes into an explanation about why the book is separated into two parts. First, again, is Sisterhood of Self, SOS, and then part two is this Sister to Sister. And then we went into last week, I went over the seven principles of the SOS, and I have to tell you guys that when God poured these seven principles through me, and I was at the laptop and I'm typing it down, I'm like, you know what? This is special. This is sacred. I cannot wait to talk about this because this really makes all the sense in the world. Okay, so the seven principles of the SOS are, number one, every woman has an SOS that is either active or inactive. And again, the SOS is the sisterhood of self. How am I spending time with myself? How seriously am I taking my goals and my dreams and the way that I want to live according to my terms? How seriously am I taking that? So every woman has an SOS that is either active or inactive. Number two, the SOS is activated by spending time in the silence daily. I will talk about that until you guys just want to say, Michelle, just be quiet about spending time in the silence. But I'm going to keep talking about it anyway because it is so important. And we're going to go deep into that tonight with the chapter, Disconnect to Connect. There's really no way to connect with the truth of who you are, to connect with that authentic part of you that exists inside of you that is unique to you. There is no way for you to really access that unless you spend time in the silence on a daily basis. And it doesn't mean that you have to meditate. Meditation is good. Meditation is extremely good. But how you spend time in the silence is entirely up to you. You have to do what works for you. I encourage you to do what works for you. If meditation works for you, then you should be meditating. If you want to go for a walk in the neighborhood where you're just with yourself, you want to just sit and just think, you know, you just want to sit and just pay attention to your thoughts, however you do it, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the social media, and just spend time with yourself in the silence. That's the only way to get to know who you really are. You're not listening to anybody else's thoughts about who you are when you're spending time in the silence, paying attention to what's going through your own mind, okay? So number three on the seven principles is self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. So once you activate your SOS, all kinds of thoughts about who you really are, why you're here, what you deserve, you know, what's unique to your journey, all of this stuff is just going to start to reveal itself to you. And one of the things that is going to present itself to you is this opportunity for self-forgiveness, which is something that we have a hard time doing. It's tough enough to forgive somebody else, but I am really of the belief that if you're not able to forgive yourself, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to forgive anybody else. And we deserve to forgive ourselves because, as Maya Angelou used to say, when we know better, we do better. Some of the mistakes and some of the poor judgment that we used, it happened when we were younger and when the information that we had access to was different. Our experience allowed us to arrive at whatever position we were in our life when we made the poor judgment or the mistake. And at this point, it is extremely important that we put in the work to arrive at the place to forgive ourselves for whatever it is that we've been that we've been holding ourselves hostage to. Self-forgiveness, it is extremely liberating. It will allow you to start to really tap into that inner splinter that's inside of you. It's imperative. It's absolutely imperative to activating your SOS, okay? The next one, number four, is the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. So, again, once you've activated it by spending time in the silence, it's to our benefit to start paying attention to the thoughts that we're thinking, to the words that we're using, because words have power. You know, research tells us that on average, that every human being thinks up to 60,000 thoughts a day. Up to. Some of us don't think that many thoughts. Some of us think that many. Up to 60,000 thoughts a day. The research also says that 98% of those thoughts are repetitive, meaning that they're really on autopilot. You know, the thoughts that we had yesterday are the same thoughts that we had the day before that, the week before that, the month before that. We're just in the habit of these thoughts, you know, running through our minds day in and day out unchecked. Unchecked. And then the research also says that 80%, a whopping 80% of those thoughts are negative. And under that category, things like judging other people, judging yourself, gossiping, complaining, all of that falls under that 80% negative thoughts category. And so as it relates to activating your SOS, a part of that is starting to pay attention to your thoughts and to your words and thinking about, you know, what it is that you're saying. What is it that you're drawing into your life? Because that's what your thoughts and that's what your words do. That's what your thoughts and words do. The next one is an active SOS thrives in gratitude. Gratitude is one of the most amazing gifts that you can give yourself. If you're already in the habit of counting your blessings, you are You are jamming. You are doing the doggone thing, because that is one of the most powerful things that you can do with your life. And when you make it a habit, when you make it a part of your daily life, it produces dividends because, again, we go back to that spiritual law, like energy attracts. right? So if you are engaged in gratitude on a daily basis, then you are attracting more experiences into your life for which to be grateful. That what you focus on most expands. So if you're constantly focusing on what you don't have or what's wrong with your life, then you're attracting those experiences into your life. Because in our mind, we have what is like a radar, and it picks up on our thoughts. And it's that whole free will thing. Whatever we think about, we bring about. We have free will to create whatever we want in our lives, and we do that by our thoughts. Okay, so the next principle is an active SOS provides access to inner splendor, which reveals life purpose. I talk about the inner splendor a lot, and I talk about life purpose a lot because that's essentially why we're here, and we're going to get into that a little bit more when we talk about the chapter for tonight, Disconnect to Connect, because that dash in between the date of our birth and the date of our death, that is where our focus should be, what we do while we're here. And each one of us has a unique purpose. Each one of us has a unique purpose. We may all, you know, we may end up in similar careers, you know, a number of you may end up being teachers. But what you bring to the teaching position is unique to you. The kind of teacher that you are in your classroom, it's unique to you. And if that is your life purpose, there are things within you that you can access to help you connect with your students in a way that is absolutely positively unique and life-changing for them. So it doesn't matter what it is that we end up doing. It's what we bring to it. It's the purpose and the unique purpose that we bring to it that matters, okay? The last one, the quality of a woman's SOS determines the quality of all her other sisterhood exchanges. So, and it goes back to that vicious cycle. So if you are engaged in, you know, challenging, difficult relationships with other women, it's easy to say that they're the problem. It's easy to say that what they're doing is what's the cause of the tension and the challenges in the relationship. The most powerful, the more powerful approach would be to say, what am I bringing to this relationship? What kind of energy am I exchanging with these other women? And then that goes back to, again, your SOS. How are you interacting with yourself? How are you speaking to yourself? How are you thinking? What kind of thoughts are you thinking for yourself? That's where it is determined. That's where it is determined. All right, so then, let's see. I went into last week on the chapter on the sisterhood of self and talked about it and talked about how it's similar to faith and, you know, how faith is not a religious quality. Faith is a spiritual quality that we're all born with, and there's a misconception about faith. A lot of people believe that, okay, some people have faith and some people don't. Oh, I wish I had her faith. Everybody's born with faith. It's an innate spiritual quality that we have. But if we don't use it, it's almost like we don't have it. It's one of those things where you have to use it or lose it. You can't ever really lose it, so that's not accurate. But in order for it to be effective in your life, you have to use your faith. And, you know, as the scripture says, you can start with a mustard seed-sized bit of faith, and you can move mountains with that. And then the more you use it, the more powerful it becomes. The sisterhood of self is the exact same way. Every woman has a sisterhood of self. But if we don't have an intention to activate it and to make it do what it do, if we don't spend, you know, some time cultivating it, then it's just there, and it can remain there for the rest of our lives without ever really being put into effect. And it's a sad thing for a woman to go her entire life without realizing that she had this beautiful, powerful, oh, my God, just sacred thing inside of her that was awaiting her attention, that was awaiting her nurturance in order for it to spring into action and say, oh, this is why you're here, and here are the steps to take in order to make your purpose become a reality. So the sisterhood of self is, again, where it all begins. The sisterhood of self is the foundation for how a woman moves and lives and breathes in her life. Let's see, on page 16, bottom of the page, it says, as it relates to a woman's SOS, women with an active one do indeed attract situations that, from the outside looking in, appear to be lucky. However, their external world is a result of what they do internally. I said that sentence as it relates to women with an active SOS, but that's true for women with an inactive SOS as well, because as within, so without. Your external world is a result of what you do internally. Like the person with strong faith, the more a woman engages her SOS, the stronger it gets. And what a woman does within, always, not sometimes, not, you know, on occasion, always shows up in her world. Then it goes into a description of who these women are who are rolling with the active SOSs. And on the top of page 17, it says, they are authentically successful women whose thoughts, words, and actions illustrate that they live from an active SOS. When I say authentically successful, these are women who have the material possessions, but the material possessions don't define them. And they can have fun with the material possessions because they know that the material possessions don't define them. So they manifest easily, and they have fun with it. And they enjoy everything that they have. The paragraph goes on to say, they are women who believe in themselves, value and respect themselves, women whose self-talk is non-judgmental and supportive, women who forgive themselves for poor judgment and mistakes, women who are either living or actively pursuing their life purpose. They are women who routinely poke holes into their shrinking comfort zone, quote-unquote comfort zone, by constantly stepping on it on their way out of it. A woman with an active SOS understands the power of gratitude and consciously embraces it as an essential aspect of living. One of the best ways to embrace gratitude is to keep a gratitude journal. And it's real simple, and it's life-changing because, again, gratitude just helps you to just see life differently. You know, if you're having a bad day, gratitude can help you to see that it's really a lesson. If you're having a good day, gratitude could help that good day great, okay? A gratitude journal helps you to record every day at least 5 things that happened that day that you're grateful for. And, you know, typically you do it at the end of the day so that you have, you know, your entire day to reflect on and look back on and say, okay, well, this happened, that happened, these 5 things happened, and you record that in your journal. And, again, it's at least. You can always put more. Some days you'll just eke out, you know, the basics. Food, shelter, clothing, family, whatever the case may be, right? And then there will be other days where you just won't be able to stop your pen from moving because it was one of those days. And this is the thing, the more consistently you keep a gratitude journal, more often than not you will have more than 5 things to write into it, because what happens is you start your day on the lookout for things to be grateful. You're more aware of these things that are already happening in your life. All these wonderful things are already happening, but you weren't paying attention before. You may have noticed, you know, you count your blessings, but now that you have to write it down at the end of the day, your focus is different, right? So gratitude helps you to just shift your focus. So I deviated all into this whole gratitude discussion, and I was talking about, okay, women with an active SOS, and what did I say? Women with an active SOS understands the power of gratitude and consciously embraces it as an essential aspect of living. She might or might not meditate, but introspection and thinking about who she is and what she wants is a part of her life. Instead of complaining about a problem, a woman with an active SOS will roll up her sleeves to do something about it. These women's thoughts are predominantly positive. They celebrate life. They question authority. They speak affirming words and aren't easily rattled. They read books, attend seminars, and watch television shows that encourage them to become more and not less of who they really are. That's one of my favorite sentences, to shows that encourage them to become more, just that phrase, becoming more and not less of who you are. That's what we're here to do, because who we really are is an unfolding process. You know, we don't get there and we arrive at, okay, this is who I am, you know, when I turn 50 and that's the end of it. No, we still have more to do when we turn 60. That's not the end of it. There's still more to do when we turn 70, 80. There's still more of us that needs to be expressed, that needs to unfold, you know. And if we're engaged in activating and maintaining the activation of our sisterhood of self, our SOS, then that journey is a constant unfoldment. It's a constant unfolding of us becoming more, always more, never less than who we are. We become less when we shrink because we don't want to make somebody else feel insecure. We become less when we tell ourselves what we can't do instead of what we can do. You know, we become less when we know that we're supposed to start that business. We're supposed to go back to school. We're supposed to fill in the blank. Okay, when we know in our heart of hearts what we're supposed to be doing and we allow fear, other people's thoughts and beliefs about who we are, when we allow anything to stop us, we're becoming less of who we are. And that's not why we're here. That's not why we're here. We're here to become more of who we are, more, not less. Okay, so the last paragraph on the sisterhood of self, actually it's not the last, it's the last paragraph on this page, on page 17, says, people feel safe in their presence because their energy is inviting. A woman with an active SOS is so busy creating a life on her terms that she has neither the time nor the interest in trivial activities like gossip. Let me take a breath on that one. Let me just remind you guys that I would really like to hear from you. The number to call in if you want to have ask a question, share a comment or a brilliant insight, or share your feedback on the book. The number to call in is 646-595-2081. Okay, so that's pretty much it with what we did last week, the preface and then the SOS. And so this week, the chapter that we are going into is Disconnect to Connect. And again, this book is so short that I can really just kind of really dissect each chapter and have a nice discussion about it. So on page 19, Disconnect to Connect starts out, activating your SOS requires taking a step back from the busyness and constant chatter that is everywhere. Glance around, and whether you're at home with family or in the airport waiting to board your flight, most heads are glued to smartphones and other electronic devices, compulsively engaged in texting, posting, or scrolling through other people's posts and tweets. And let me just go ahead and read the second paragraph before I discuss it. Ironically, the lure for incessant, quote-unquote, connection via electronics and social media is fueled by a deep desire to fill an internal void that can only be filled by disconnecting from the external noise and going within. You're hungry for a connection because you feel disconnected from the most significant person in your life, and that's yourself. I think this is my theory on why social media blew up as quickly as it did and has become so popular. I think it's wonderful. I really do. I think Facebook is awesome. I've connected with so many, you know, old classmates and family members, and I believe Facebook is awesome. Twitter, all the other social media platforms are wonderful. But when we get into the habit of looking to the social media to fulfill that part of us that can only be filled by going within, then that too becomes a vicious cycle, because the more that you immerse yourself in social media, the more you immerse yourself into it, the more difficult it is to step away from it. It's addicting. It's really addicting. It's fun and it's addicting. The challenge comes when we start to look to those external sources, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, for validation, for filling that part of us that can only be filled by going within. I wanted to touch on a couple of things that are not in the book, but that really kind of amplify just how important it is to disconnect in order to connect. And that there are really three things, and I mentioned it already. Like one of them is that we're here on purpose with a purpose. The thing about that purpose is we won't find it externally. We will find it within ourselves. We're born with a unique, that's number two, we're born with a unique destiny within us. We're born with it. When you hear people talk about, you know, if you're an adult, I read a magazine article the other day, a woman who's very successful in business, has a really creative business, And she talks about how when she was a little girl, you know, she really had some innate business skills. You know, she had a lemonade stand. She put, you know, some of her friends to work for her with a business that she had. When she had a treehouse, I think it was, homegirl charged admission to her friends to come into that clubhouse. If that's not a born entrepreneur, I don't know what is. She had her mother to help her with her business, and she paid her mother a commission. Okay, I'm saying that to say we are born with our unique destiny within us. Right? And there may have been things that happened in our childhood that did not allow that unique destiny to reveal itself to us. Okay? Some of us, like myself, are late bloomers. But I say blooming is definitely better late than never. Right? So the other thing that's important to think about when we discuss disconnect to connect is that life gives us clues. You know, like I said with the lady in the magazine article that I read the other day, her life started to give her clues about what her inner destiny was when she was a little girl, when she started to exhibit these innate business skills, right? So if each one of us looks at our life, if we have not already discovered our life purpose, and some of us have, but if we have it and we're interested in discovering what it is, our life gives us clues. What are those things that you love to do? And when you do it, you know, you lose track of time. It's almost like it becomes a meditative thing for you because you're so immersed in it. You know, it just gives you so much joy. Well, what are those things that you would do, you know, whether you got paid for it or not? What are some things that just fill you with such joy and such peace that, you know, when you're engaged in it, you just know that this is something that has to always be a part of my life? Those are clues about what your life purpose is. Those are clues. And when we are on a job where we're not engaged in our life purpose, then we experience what I call, and it's not what I call, but what I know to be true is divine discontent. Because what's happening is we are having an experience on a job that is not in alignment with our unique purpose. Right, people who work on jobs where they're living their passion, they're living their purpose, it doesn't feel like work for them. It doesn't feel like a job. It feels like there's the line between work and play is so blurred that they don't even know that, you know, that this is work. It feels like it's a part of their life. You know what I mean? So those three things are important to keep in mind when we have this conversation about disconnect to connect and why it's so important. We're here on purpose with a purpose. We're born with a unique destiny within us, and life gives us clues. I'm gonna deviate a little bit from my own book and go to another book that I absolutely love, and it's called Discover the Power Within You, and it's written by Eric Butterworth. He passed away a few years ago, and I just have a little side note about that because Eric Butterworth was a Unity minister who I think he was in his late 70s, early 80s when he made his transition several years ago. And I belong to a Unity church, and he's one of the Unity ministers. He's written several books, a whole bunch of books. But he's one of those people who really help. He can explain something in a way that you just get it the first time. And he has had such a profound impact on my life that when he passed away, I went to his funeral. His funeral was in New York. The people in my family thought I was crazy. They did not get it. But guess what? I did not even care. My brothers, they thought I was Looney Tunes. My ex-husband thought I was, like, out of my mind. But there was just something inside of me that said, you know what, this man has had such a huge impact on me. I just really want to go and be a part of this celebration of his life. And so I did. And guess who gave his eulogy? Maya Angelou. So it was one awesome occasion. My older brother ended up going, his wife ended up going with me, and they were glad they did. So I digress, but I had to give you guys that little bit of trivia about me and Eric Butterworth because I adore this man. So I wanted to, as I was talking about us being here on purpose with a purpose, born with a unique destiny within us, and that life gives us clues, I want to read something from his book. Again, the name of it is Discover the Power Within You. And in the first chapter of his book called The Eternal Quest, this statement is just so powerful to me, and it really sums it up nicely. It says, "The hope of mankind today lies in the great undiscovered depths within. The time is at hand," and I'm going to change the pronoun from men to women because we're talking about the sisterhood exchange. So "the time is at hand when women everywhere must forsake the fruitless search of the world at the circumference of being and embark upon a courageous quest into inner space." That thing right there is so deep to me because essentially what he's saying is the truth of who we are is within us, and it hasn't, in many situations, it hasn't been discovered, right? And he's saying that it's time now. And he wrote this book a number of years ago, and there's been, you know, several different printings of it, but it's one of those timeless books. But what he's saying is the time is now for us to stop looking outside of ourselves to define ourselves and to be courageous enough, because it really does take courage to decide that you are going to look within yourself. And it's not just looking within yourself. It's looking within yourself, discovering who you are, why you're here, and then going about the business of actually manifesting your authenticity. And that's what he says in that first paragraph. "The hope of," and I'm going to say womankind, "the hope of womankind today lies in the great undiscovered depths within. The time is at hand when women everywhere must forsake the fruitless search of the world at the circumference of being and embark upon a courageous quest into inner space," into our inner space. We have to be courageous enough to say, you know what, no Facebook today, no Twitter today, no, I'm going to turn this TV off for, you know, a few hours today because I am going to spend some time with me. You know, I'm going to pick up this book and I'm going to spend some time reading it and digesting it and allowing it to marinate and, you know, really just give it some thought. And I am going to look at the goals that are important to me. You know, I don't care if it's a goal that just became apparent to you this week or if it's a goal that came to mind 10 years ago that you put on the back burner because of fear, because of what other people thought, because of whatever the case may be. You know, it's still your goal. It's still inside of you. And it takes courage. It takes courage to decide that you are going to do that, that you are going to do the work, that you are going to put in the work to activate your seven principles of your SOS. It takes time and it takes work and it takes courage. But you know what? That dash, again, in between the date of our birth and the date of our death makes it worth it. Who wants to arrive at the date of our death with that dash being unfulfilled? That's the nature of regret. That's the nature of regret. I would much rather say, I'm so glad that I did this, whatever this is, and however that turned out, however it turned out, if it was a big flop, I would rather say I'm so glad I did it as opposed to years passing by and I'm wondering, wonder what might have happened if I had only thrown my hat into the ring. Oh, I wish I had tried that. Oh, I wish I had taken that opportunity. That's regret. That's regret. And I think that the object of life is to rack up as few regrets as possible, to leave here with as few regrets as possible. And it's possible when you activate your SOS. Okay, so let me go back to disconnect to connect. All right, so this is on page 19, bottom of the page. "The quote-unquote connection via social media masks the emptiness that is a natural outcome of the disconnect from self because the quote-unquote likes, comments, shares, and tweets provide pseudo-validation, sometimes from complete strangers, and pseudo-anything is fake. But because validation is one of the deepest, most important needs that you and I and every human being has, people take whatever they can get." But, okay, let me dissect that paragraph because it feels normal. It feels, you know, it can have a fulfilling vibe to it, to be on Facebook and you post, you know, something on Facebook and it gets, you know, a bunch of likes, a bunch of comments, a bunch of whatever, right? But if you're looking to that to fulfill you in any way, okay, you will constantly have to post on Facebook every day, sometimes several times a day, in search of that high that comes along with that, right? And the more you do that, the more you distract yourself from actually going within to this inner space that Eric Butterworth talked about. Okay, the more you spend time doing this external stuff and allowing yourself to feel some degree of validation from it, the more addicted, the more obsessed you become with it, because you're constantly looking for the feeling that it's been providing for you, right? So, again, because pseudo, anything is fake, all it does is nurture your false sense of self, because that's what the false sense of self thrives on, external stuff. The false sense of self has no idea who you are. The false sense of self needs that external validation. And that's what happens when we get caught up on just spending an excessive amount of time with Facebook and Twitter. I think that all of it, you know, and it's just my opinion, should be done in moderation. There should be a balance, you know. If going within, spending time with you, discovering why you are here, and then getting into the habit, getting into the practice of manifesting that is important, then naturally your time on these external things is just going to start to shorten. You may not even have to give it any focus, because the more you focus on you, the less you're going to focus on these other things. And, you know, sooner or later you're going to realize, wow, I haven't even been spending that much time on it. So you may not even have to you know, like, really place a huge intention on it. But if it's an issue for you, if you realize that, you know what, I am spending, you know, hours on this thing every day, and I am looking for, you know, a certain number of likes on a post in order to make me feel a certain way. And you have to be honest with yourself. You really do. You have to be honest with yourself. So if that is an issue, then, you know, just take a look at it and see if there's something different that you want to do about it, that you want to do about it. Okay, so also on that page, everyone wants and needs to be heard. Everyone wants and needs to be seen. However, deriving your sense of self from how others respond to you in social media is an addiction that perpetuates itself by requiring constant engagement in order to maintain the friendships, quote-unquote friendships, rather, with people who quote-unquote like you. That's essentially what I just said, so... Another deep breath. Next paragraph. The constant attention required to sustain this pseudo-validation diminishes the importance of spending time alone, which is a non-negotiable factor in activating your sisterhood of self. No worries. Your SOS has been waiting for you. It's wise beyond its years and realizes that this preoccupation with all things external is temporary. Your SOS knew that you would eventually realize that what it has to offer to you cannot be provided to you by anyone or anything else. Last paragraph on that page is, take a break from your life's many quote-unquote connections to connect with the part of yourself that can give you what you've been craving. Ask it for its secrets, because it has so many secrets for you. Ask it to reveal your hidden treasure. Ask it why you are here. The only requirement is that you ask. So that's one of my favorite chapters. You guys are going to hear me say that every week. Every chapter was one of my favorite chapters. But that one really just kind of sets the tone for what the sisterhood of self is really all about. And, again, it just really encourages us to first of all, understand that in order to discover why we're here, that we're not going to find it outside of ourselves. We're going to find it within ourselves. Now, we may have an experience that activates our desire to go within. You know, we may have we may pick up a book, we may bump into a certain person, and they may say something that really resonates with us. We may be in church, and it feels like the pastor's sermon had our name on it. So there may be something external that happens that kind of serves as a reminder to us, or a notification to us that there's something inside of you that needs your attention. There's something inside of you that only you can access. And it can only happen in the silence, by going into the silence on a daily basis. On a daily basis. It takes getting used to. If you're the type of person who, you know, as soon as you get into the car, you turn on the radio. As soon as you walk into the house, you turn on the TV, whether you're watching it or not, just to provide that background noise. That a lot of us have been in that habit. You know, it's normal, and you only really realize that you're doing it when sometimes if someone brings it to your attention, and it takes some intention. It takes some definite intention to shift that, because spending time with your own thoughts can sometimes be uncomfortable because of you know, up to 60,000 thoughts a day, 98% of them are repetitive, up to 80% of them are negative, you know. But the only way to isolate the thoughts and to change them is to actually spend time with them. You know, we can't get around doing the work. We have to first identify, what is it that I'm thinking about? You know, what are my thoughts? On the show a few months ago, I gave an assignment that I encouraged everybody to complete, and essentially I just asked everybody, you know, put on your smartphone or on your wristwatch, set your timer for every hour for several hours of that day. Set it for every hour, and when it goes off every hour, the only thing that you should do is just to pay attention to the thought that you just had. What was I just thinking, you know, when the timer went off? What was I thinking? What was I thinking, you know? And the more you pay attention to what you're thinking, the more you can start to determine which thoughts you want to keep and which thoughts you know have no business in your mind. But the only way to get to that point is to actually spend time with your thoughts in the silence. So I just strongly, strongly, strongly encourage it, because it's extremely powerful. And then once you get into the habit of actually spending time in the silence, you will become addicted, because, again, there's so much awesomeness inside of you. There is so much beauty and wisdom and really good stuff inside that may have been, and this is not the case for everybody, but it may have been covered, you know, smothered by experiences, by painful circumstances, by, you know, things that have happened in your life where, you know, just all of these wonderful things inside of you have gotten smothered, pushed down by all these experiences, by other people's opinions of you, of negative self-talk that you've had with yourself, right? And the only way for you to start to lift those things off of the goodness that's inside of you is to spend time in the silence. To spend time in the silence, and when you're in the silence, to ask yourself, you know, why am I here? Why am I really here? What is my purpose? What is it about me that makes me unique? And what is it about me that I'm supposed to share? And who am I supposed to share it with? On what stage? How grand is this sharing supposed to be? Is it supposed to be, you know, on a grand stage, or is it not? Everybody's not going to be required. Your destiny is not. Everybody's destiny is not to share on a grand stage, but it's important for us to realize while we're here. Let me give the number again in case any of you would like to call in with comments or questions or brilliant insights. The number is 646-595-2081. And let me just remind you again that this is the Sisterhood Exchange radio show, but for the next several weeks, it's the home of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. And the book club is based on the paperback version of the Sisterhood Exchange, which was released last month and is available on Amazon.com. The paperback version is $10.30 on Amazon. If you want to get it into your hands immediately, you can get the ebook, which is only $4.99. And on Amazon, they have the Kindle device. But what's so cool about it is, if you don't have a Kindle, you can download the app for Kindle, and then you can use you can read your ebook on any device with that Kindle app. So that's pretty cool. And then if you're interested in getting an autographed copy, you can go to my website, which is michellehollinger.com, and you can order your book from my website, and then I'll autograph it and send it to you, and you can follow along. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to tell you guys about, the Facebook page, just a reminder, check that out. Like it on Facebook. The other thing is on this website for the radio show, there's a blue follow button. If you would click on that and become a follower, then you'll be kept up to date with what's going on with the radio show. You'll get a reminder every week of when the show is going to be aired and if there are any changes that I need to make as far as time or day or, you know, anything like that, I can notify you guys that way. Although I always put any changes that are going to happen on the Facebook page as well. But some of you are not on Facebook, so that's a good way to stay up to date on what's going on with the show. If you're not on Facebook, you can click on the follow button on the website. And what else? I think that is in the way of reminders and housekeeping. Next week, we are going to get into the next chapter, which is called Your Thoughts, Your Life. And I encourage you guys to read that before next week, before we get into that discussion. And, all of this really builds on itself. Each chapter builds on the previous chapter, so I definitely encourage you to, if you already have the book, to, you know, read up to where we are, and if you haven't already gotten the book, to get it in and to read the preface, read the Sisterhood of Self, read the Nine Principles, and then read the Disconnect to Connect. And yeah, we're going to just have a good time discussing this, or as you guys did tonight, letting me discuss it. I don't mind. I am hoping that eventually you guys are going to call in and tell me what you think about this book and ask a question or make a comment or share some brilliant insight. I am just thrilled to be able to discuss it because sisterhood is just really one of the sweetest things about being a woman, but it's gotten such a bad name. It's really gotten a bad name with these reality shows, you know, that whole fiasco with the sisterhood, sorority sisters on VH1, and, you know, everything that happened around that, you know, it gives the impression that that's the only thing that's happening with sisterhood, but it's not, because there's so many wonderful things that are happening with sisterhood, but, you know, what gets the most attention is the negative stuff. So that's one of the reasons that I'm really grateful that, you know, to be able to have this conversation, because sisterhood is just awesome, in my opinion. It is just one of the most sacred, most blessed things about being a woman. And when we get it, when we understand that the energy that we give to other women, we keep it for ourselves. It's like, I don't know, if you guys remember what carbon paper is from back in the day before we had copy machines. I am dating myself, yes I am. But carbon paper was this film of paper in between sheets of paper, and when you wrote on the carbon paper, when you wrote on the paper, it went through to the other paper, pieces of paper, so that you would not have to write the same thing three different times. It would go through to the other papers. So essentially, whatever we give to other women by way of our energy, by way of our thoughts, by way of our words, we keep it. We keep a carbon copy for ourselves. And that whole what goes around, comes around thing is real, is powerful, is true. And when we realize it and we can set an intention for how we interact with other women, then it has an impact on them. It has an impact on us. And that's essentially what the Sisterhood Exchange is all about, the way that the energy, the quality of the energy that we keep for ourselves and the quality of the energy that we give to other women. And, you know, it becomes a cycle. It becomes a cycle. And we have a say over the quality of the cycle because we have a say over the quality of the energy that we exude to other women, right? So, yeah, Sisterhood of Self, SOS, the Seven Principles, we went over that, Disconnect to Connect. Yeah, I think I'm going to save your thoughts, your life for next week so we can go into that. Before we go, though, I think that we have a caller who wants to have a few more minutes, actually. So, yeah, get my caller on the line. See that we have a caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hello. This is Pamela from Miami, Florida.
Hi, Pamela. Hey,
and
Pamela.
I just
How are you? Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the book. I really enjoyed the life principles and the matter that we are all able to learn from it and to grow from it. And I think that empowers us even more than we have been. And I love the analogy, even when you talked about the hardback and the paperback, it made me think mm-hmm. of ourselves, how we evolve. We're not the same day by day, actually, and we can be better the following day. So everything just gives us so much more hope, and I think that's what we really need. And the time alone is definitely something that I have learned. A lot of people call me a loner at times, but I tell them I love my time alone. You know, I love being mm-hmm. and finding out about me. That's when I really find out about myself. So, and I answer a lot of questions that I have and solve a lot of problems. And, you know, it's just something that we all should engage more in. And I know I'm on Facebook a lot. And I was actually led to Facebook, didn't even want to get on Facebook, but I realized when I got on what my purpose was there. And I think I have been hopefully bringing some things to that, but there definitely has to be a balance. It can't all be about Facebook or Twitter. You know, I see people every day that we're just looking in phones. You know, you have to actually disengage when you go out to dinner because
yes.
everybody's still on the phone and the movies. You know, it's just like you can't disconnect from it. But like you said, that energy that flows there's a disconnect with the person that you're sitting next to. So, you know, we always need to engage, and we're giving that energy off that probably we don't want to be there, you know, sometimes when we do that. So I just think it's a great book. I'm telling everybody that I know about the book. And hopefully, you know, more and more people will read the book. The book reads you, actually. You know, I find myself reading it, and it's telling me things as I'm reading it. So I bless you, and thank you so much, and thank you for allowing God to use you that way.
Oh, Pam, thank you so very much for your call and for those comments. You really, really, really just confirmed, you know, so much of what this discussion has been about, and I'm just really grateful that you took the time to call in. So thank you so much, and thank you for getting the book. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Have a good night. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it's all about right there. That is what it's all about. I'm so grateful for her. Yeah, when you think about, you know, just how we show up with other people, you know, and the tendency that we have now to just be so obsessed with our phones. And, you know, even when we're at family events and you look around and everybody's head is down in the phone, that is it's just really telling about where we are. It's just really telling about where we are. So, you know, when our family goes out to dinner, I'm like, no phones allowed. Put them away. And we will have a conversation about something, you know. So, yeah, it's really important to just kind of pay attention. And it's become a habit, you know. And when something becomes popular, when we look around and everybody's doing it, it gives us permission to continue to engage in it. You know, oh, it's not so bad. Everybody's doing it. But when you know, kind of look at how it's impacting your own life, and you look at, you know, how you want to show up, you know, then it just gives you a reason to pause and just examine and explore about, you know, how you want to move forward with it. Because when I'm out to dinner with my children, I want to engage them in a way. You know, I want them to know that I see them, that I hear them, that, you know, whatever's on Facebook or Twitter or my email at that moment is not more important than their presence in my life, and vice versa, you know. So, Pam, thank you for sharing that because, yeah, that's really, really important. And it's a huge part of the Sisterhood Exchange because one of the chapters later in the book really goes into how we interact with another woman when she's speaking to us about you know, a dream or a goal, or she's just talking to us, period, you know. There's a way that we show up in another woman's life that can either encourage her or discourage her, and sometimes it's done nonverbally. It's done with our body language, and we don't even realize it. It's done, you know, with how we respond to her, and, you know, it's I can't wait to get to that chapter. It's called LIVE, L-I-V-E is the acronym, and it's just a really powerful chapter, really, and it's one of the chapters that is a carryover from the hardback. So, yeah, Pam, thank you for calling in. Oh, yeah, and I wanted to thank you, too, for the analogy with the hardback, because that's true. One of the things that I realized with the hardback, because I've been on this sisterhood exchange journey for a really, really long time. I explained that last week that at first, you know, kind of show, I won't say kind of, God placed it on my heart probably close to a couple of decades ago before my sister-in-law transitioned. I remember that I wrote a poem called The Sisterhood Exchange, and I shared it with my late sister-in-law, Carolyn, and my friend, Alana, and I forget who else I gave it to, but I gave it to some of the special women in my family. And, you know, a few years later when Carolyn transitioned, I remember that I had a gathering at my house, not around her transition, but that's just like a milestone in my life before she transitioned and after. So I remember that it was after she transitioned that I had a gathering at my house, you know, where I had women to come over, and I asked everybody to bring their favorite Bible verse or favorite quotation or, you know, a favorite motivational quote, whatever the case may be, to bring it. And we, you know, we sat around and, you know, I cooked some food and we had, you know, food and just had a good time and hung out with each other. And then a part of the evening involved each one of us sharing, you know, what our favorite quote was, and to talk about, you know, what impact it had on us and why it was special. And so, of course, that conversation was just absolutely beautiful. That was one of the most beautiful conversations that I've ever been a part of, because that was just a part of this beautiful sisterhood exchange. So I'm explaining all that to say that the sisterhood exchange has been a part of my life for a very, very long time. And, you know, when I mentioned before that life gives us clues, those were clues for me that I was supposed to do more with the sisterhood exchange, you know. And so, you know, a few more things happened, and then several years ago, actually, I wrote the book after a beautiful exchange with my daughter, who was 9 or 10 at the time, Stephanie, and I wrote the book. But I did not do anything with it. I think fear was a part of it. You know, I had other things going on and just didn't realize what I was supposed to do. In retrospect, I realized that I wasn't supposed to do anything with it at the time. So I wrote it, put it away, and then, you know, a few years later, I got this nagging feeling, do something with the sisterhood exchange. You do realize that wasn't for you. You know, you wrote that book, but it's that's not for you just to tuck away and keep it to yourself. You're supposed to share that with people. You know, that became so clear to me. And so, yeah, that's when I went ahead and I published the hardback thinking, okay, that's it. Did my job. Did what I was told to do. That's all I have to say on sisterhood. But then when it came time to get ready to publish the paperback, all of these insights and epiphanies about sisterhood just kept pouring through, just kept on pouring through. And so I said to myself, you know what, self, you need to get all this on paper and possibly look at doing a different paperback than the hardback. So I had a conversation with the publisher, because typically, you know, when you do the paperback, it's just the content is the same, as the packaging is different. You know, you're doing a paperback as opposed to hardback. But what I realized, too, was that God needed me to be at a different level of consciousness in order for all of this that poured forth through me with the paperback, in order for that to pour through, my consciousness had to evolve to a different level, to a higher level. And so that's what has happened with this. And so that, you know, the radio show came about, and now we're doing the book club. It's just a process of me evolving and allowing God to be God in and through me and to share this information and for me to be a willing vessel. So, yeah, that's what that's all about. And I'm really grateful that I get to do it. And I hope that, you know, it's having an impact. You know what? I know that it's having an impact. I'm really grateful for that. So, yeah, thank you guys for being a part of this experience with me. And, you know, spread the word. Tell your friends, your family and friends to join us on the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. We're here every Wednesday night at 7:30. And, again, I told you that you can get the book on Amazon.com. Real quick to get it with an e-book version with the Kindle app for $4.99, or you can get it for the paperback from Amazon.com for $10.30, I think was the last price that I saw on there, and which is a slight discount because the retail price is $12. And then you can also get an autographed copy from my website, MichelleHollinger.com, for $10. So, yeah. Become a part of this sisterhood exchange. And, again, spread the word. Let your family and friends know, women that you think might benefit from it. And we'll keep this thing rolling. So I am going to bid you guys a good night and look forward to having the same experience, a better experience, with you next week at 7:30 on the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. So enjoy your night. Thank you again for being a part of it, and I'll talk with you next week. Peace.